honored to be here with you all tonight. Very happy to have my family here with me as well. Also, my friends Rob and Jared, greatly appreciate them coming to support me as well. It's always a pleasure and a great honor to assemble with God's people, to worship God, to sing songs and praises to His name, and to edify and build up one another. I originally was going to preach on the subject of patience. But, you know, if you preach normally, sometimes you have random thoughts in the middle of the night, maybe, and you decide to change what you're going to do. I had the thought of how people always say, next year is going to be different. I'm going to do this different next year. Do we ever change what we say we're going to change? A Pittsburgh paper published the top 10 New Year's resolutions that people say they're going to do in 2016. Number one is spend more time with family and friends. Family and friends become a priority in our lives, and it's something that we want to spend time with, right? Maybe we don't spend enough time with our family and friends that we want to. So the next year, we're going to do a little bit better on that. Number two is fit in fitness. You see this every year. Someone you know is always saying, well, I'm going to go to the gym more. I'm going to work out more. Going hand in hand with that's losing weight. A lot of people make that decision on January 1st, they're going to lose weight. Quit smoking. Enjoy life more. Maybe you didn't enjoy the previous year the way you should have. Quit drinking. Get out of debt. That's something that a lot of people have problems with, is debt. Learn something new. You might want to be more adventurous in 2016. But this isn't something wrong that we wouldn't want to strive to do. Help other people. And number 10 is get organized. But as we all know, the majority of Americans will make New Year's resolutions and will not accomplish them. It's just how life goes. We lose sight of what we say we're going to do. We run out of time on what we say we're going to do. And we don't do it. But I want to challenge you tonight, if you're a Christian, even if you're not a Christian, that you don't need to wait till 2016 to improve on your walk with God. It's something that we should strive to do not once a year, but every single day of our lives. There's three things that we should look to improve on with God, and then there is four ways we're going to look at tonight on how you can improve on that. We should look to improve on our relationship and service to God. It can always get better. There's always room for improvement. What about number two? Our evangelism to others. Think of how many people are in the world today. You know there's so many people lost. We can all strive to do better each and every day to evangelize to other people. What about this? Our daily walks with one another and most importantly, God. When you walk with someone, what are you doing? Hey, you're hand in hand. You're walking together. You're ministering to each other. You're not going to achieve what you want to achieve if you do it on your own. You need brothers and sisters in Christ to strengthen and encourage you, and most importantly, to accomplish anything you need God. As a Christian, this is not something we should just look at on January 1st, 2016 or whatever year and say, I'm going to improve. It's something that each and every day of our lives we should strive for perfection. We should strive to be the best Christian that we can be, the best brother and sister to our brothers and sisters in Christ, the best evangelist to the people that need to know God, and the best servant to God that we can be. The four ways to improve as a Christian are very simple. And it's things we'll look at tonight that we can better our walk with God and better our effectiveness with other people. First off, to improve your walk as a Christian, or even if you've never had that walk started, you have to desire a relationship with God. Think of what Jesus said in John chapter 15 at verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Far apart from me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Philippians 4:13 says, through Christ you can do all things. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you want to be successful in 2016, if you want that home in heaven with God one day, you have to start your relationship with Him today. That's for non-Christian, that's for Christians alike, to give a better commitment to God. Revelation 3:20. You have to desire that relationship, but you need to realize that Jesus wants that relationship. Jesus is waiting for you to start that relationship with Him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Start your relationship with God today. We sing a hymn from time to time. There's no friend like the lowly Jesus. And there really isn't no friend like Jesus Christ. Jesus understands every struggle we encounter. Jesus is the only one who can give us salvation, that can aid us in the valley of death. I'm here to tell you tonight that we need to start that relationship now. 1 John chapter 1 at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's ready now. He's ready this very moment to cleanse you of your sins. He's right there waiting for you. He doesn't want you to wait till January 1st. He wants it done now. Think of James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. I love the depiction that James gives here. Because if you are saying, well, you know, I'll wait, or I don't need God, you got a pride problem. And what James says here is, guess what? You need to humble yourself. You need to walk with God, and guess what God's going to do? He'll exalt you. He'll help you. Look what it says, but He gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I don't know about you tonight, but I need this lesson because I need to be a better Christian every day. I don't need to put it off till January 1st to get better. We're commanded to get better every day. You see, the three things that are required in our relationship with God and that are involved in our relationship with God is, first off, you have to be humble. We just read that. You have to humble yourself before God. You have to realize how you really are, which is difficult to do. I have to look in the mirror every day and know I'm a sinner, that without God's grace, I'm absolutely nothing. And once you realize that, guess what? Your relationship with God will only improve. What about dependence? It's something that we need. We live in a country where we're independent. We can pretty much do whatever we want, but in spiritually speaking, we're dependent on God. And once you realize that without God, you're absolutely nothing, guess what? That relationship gets stronger, you become more dependent on what God says, and guess what? Leaves a lot less gray area. You do what God says to do, you're silent where God is silent, guess what? It prevents you from stumbling by doing what God says to do. What about this? Servitude. It's important in your walk with God, that relationship with God, that you become a servant. You remember when Jesus was with the disciples, the Son of God got down and washed His disciples' feet. That is the ultimate sign of service. Jesus left heaven to come to this earth and minister to other people. If the Son of God did that, what's my excuse? And think of how close Jesus and God were. They were intertwined. Every time Jesus made a decision, He looked to God for guidance. You want a strong relationship with God? You need these three qualities because Jesus displayed them. Four ways to improve as a Christian. You have to desire a relationship with God. Number two, increasing your prayer life. There's no one better to talk about your troubles than someone that can fix them. And we all truly believe, if we're Christians here tonight, that God can fix problems. We see in Scripture over and over again where God fixed problems. Think about what Paul said in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. What do? A lot of the time, we'll sit there and we'll worry and we'll worry and we'll worry and we can't sleep and we toss and turn in bed. Simply just say a prayer to God. Turn it over to God. I love what Paul says. It's not turn some things over to God. It's turn everything over to God. What about James chapter 5 at verse 16? I love this. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It gives me no greater comfort than when I suffer and I'm hurting and I want things to change, that when I pray, God hears me. God understands me. And God wants to assist me. What about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18? Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you tonight, you have to have a good prayer life. You have to communicate with God, because He wants to help you, as I said. But how is He going to know? He knows all. But we need to tell God when we're suffering, we're hurting, we're in pain. We need to turn to the one person, the one thing that can save us from sin, from the problems that we face. Importance of our prayer life. It's important because it's direct communication with God. It's direct communication with God. You are telling God what's wrong. You are asking God for a blessing. You are asking God to heal a sick relative, to be with this congregation, to be with you. Who better to tell God your issues than you yourself? Why don't we use that enough? I don't use it as much as I should. Ability to turn our larger problems to a bigger God. I look at the problems in my life sometimes, I'm like, there's no way I can do this. So then I just try to overcompensate for what I can't do and try to do it anyway. We simply just need to turn it over to God. God's bigger than anything we face. As human beings, we want people that understand us around us. People that get us. Our importance of prayer life is having someone who understands you and wants to help you. You don't have to worry about if God really, truly has your back or truly wants what's good for you. We know He does. So why not turn it over to Him? Prayer life is one way we can improve as a Christian. Maybe one of the ones I struggle with maybe more than any is this one. By studying and utilizing God's Word. You see, during the work week, during school, sometimes we don't pick up our Bibles enough because we're busy. Our schedules don't permit for it. I'm telling you, there's something in your schedule that you can cut out that you can read God's Word. You find strength, you find encouragement in God's Word. We need God's Word. 2 Timothy 3 at verse 16 through 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. It's not the fact that it's just a book, I read it, and you know, well, it's got a lot of nice words. God said this. God has all the answers to every problem I face, and He has preserved it for us. You think of how much the first century Christians just loved their Bibles. They loved their Bibles. They quoted their Bibles. They memorized their Bibles. Why? Because it was important to them. It gave them encouragement in times of distress and trouble. Why would we not want to memorize God's Scripture? Why would we not want to be in it daily? It's Psalm 119 and 105, probably one of the better verses for this subject. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's Word can guide you in the direction of eternal life if you simply read it, obey it, and live it. If you don't get anything from tonight's lesson, read it, apply it, obey it. That's what you need to do with God's Word. Because if you do those three things, your life's going to be a lot more better. Joshua 1 at verse 8, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You can apply this to Scripture. If you meditate on it, meditation means you are in it every day. You're soaking in what the words say. You're applying it to your lives. You're focused on that. It's important that we do that. What's it say, though? Your ways will be prosperous. You will have good success, not because of how good you are, but because of how great our God is. God has taken the lowest men, you would think, look at the apostles, and done miraculous things with them, and did things that are unimaginable to humans when they look at it. But He did it. What's the importance of studying God's Word? We learn and understand what God expects of us. You see, it would be totally unfair if God told us to do something and didn't tell us how to do it. He has it all laid out in Scripture of how we are to live, what is pleasing in His sight, and what is not pleasing in His sight. The most important question of all, which we're going to talk about later on, is what do you do to be saved? Guess what? God has the answer in His Word of how we are to be saved. But how are you going to know if you don't pick up His Word? See, we gain a great appreciation for God's love and blessings that He gives us. Read Isaiah chapter 53 and meditate on Isaiah chapter 53, and you realize the love that Jesus Christ had for each and every one of us. That He went through all the pain and the suffering for someone like me that's not good enough. He did that for me. And when you focus on Scriptures like that, and you see how much God truly loves you, you have a greater appreciation for God. You want to live your life pleasing to God because Jesus gave it all for you. The four ways to improve as a Christian is by desiring a relationship with God, by increasing our prayer life, by studying and utilizing God's Word, and number four, completely surrendering your life to Christ. At Kenwood, and this morning at South End, we talked about King Saul and how King Saul repented in the cave to David, saying, I'm sorry, David, I'm not going to do it again. And we talked about how Saul did not make that complete 180. Saul didn't surrender his life to God, and that's what got him into the mess he was in. If we don't surrender our lives to God, guess what? You got one hand in, one hand out. Complete surrendering to God is what we're called to do. It's what He calls us to do. Think of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." That verse is important because what Peter is saying is you surrender it all. Everything you're dealing with, it's serving a purpose. If we grasp that concept, that in the end, as much as we may suffer, as hard as it might be, that God truly wants what's best for each and every one of us, think of how much more effective we would be out in the community. See, what a lot of people say is, I'll go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, I've given God 2 days a week, and that's good enough. Or, I'll be religious around my friends and my family, but whenever I get to work, I'm just going to do whatever I feel is right. That's not right. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 24? Jesus laid it out to these people. These people were wanting to have one foot in and one foot out. What did Jesus say? And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Your walk as a Christian, surrendering your life completely to Christ, is denying yourself. Because when you realize who you truly are, as I said, and just how good God is and just how bad I am, you will surrender your life to God because you know He wants what's best for you. In my graduation in high school, I read this verse because this verse means so much to me. Galatians 2 at verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The old you is buried in the water. You become crucified with Christ. And when you go down in those waters, you're not living for yourself anymore. I'm not living for myself anymore. Who am I living for? I'm living for God. I'm living in Christ. Christ lives in me. And why am I going to make that commitment? Because He loved me and gave His life for me, for you, for all. Surrender your life to Christ. What about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6? One of the more commonly quoted scriptures when you're talking about putting your full trust in Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Because when we tend to do things on our own, we do it our way, it gets messed up. But what does Proverbs 3 tell me? It tells me that if God leads, God's leading me in the right direction. God's not going to fail me where God's leading me. If I turn my life over to God, guess what? God's going to do things I can't do. If you're living by God's word, think of how much of an eyebrow you're going to raise to people. This guy really, truly believes that. And it'll get people talking. So what's the importance of surrendering your life to Christ? The first one is complete submission leads to eternal life. And it does. If you completely surrender your life to Christ, it's not what you want anymore. It's what God wants. And when you do it God's way, you're never wrong. Ask a Christian this. The most rewarding thing you will do in your life is surrendering your life to Christ. There's not a better decision that a person can make, because not only is it going to matter in this physical life, but when this life is over, that decision you make will dictate whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. And surrendering your life to Christ and turning it over to Him, guess what? If you do that and you're faithful till He returns or till you die, you're going to be very, very glad that you turned your life over to Him. Which leads me to this, your response will decide where you spend eternity. Don't mean to keep reiterating Saul, but we also talked about the end of Saul's life this morning. And Saul had the opportunity to change his way three chapters before his death, and he didn't do so. And I had proposed the question, why would you wait? If you know what is coming, why would you wait? Why would you decline it? That same question is asked tonight. Four ways to improve as a Christian. You need to desire a relationship with God. And when that relationship is strong, it's awesome. By increasing our prayer life, talking and communicating with God can make your relationship so much stronger, can't it? By studying, utilizing God's word, apply it to your life. It's surrendering your life to Christ. Completely surrendering your life to Christ. You see, people make excuses when it comes to New Year's resolutions, don't they? They view it as if, if I don't do it this year, maybe 2017, I'll get it right. Or the next year, I'll get it right. Don't make that mistake when it comes to obeying the gospel. Don't tarry when you don't know what tomorrow may bring. So you might ask, Chris, what do I need to do to become a Christian? God's plan of salvation is so simple, but so many people are confused about it. We go by the biblical plan of salvation that God has laid out for us to follow. This isn't a man-made creed. This isn't a denomination. This is God's plan of salvation. We have to hear the good news, which I hope that you have done tonight. Romans 10 at verse 17. You have to believe with all of your heart, all of it, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You have to repent of your sins. This isn't a 360. You go back to doing what you were doing. It's a complete 180. It's a change of life, showing in action that you truly repented of your sins. Acts 2 at verse 38. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you remember Jesus saying, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And the part that so many people live out, you got to be baptized. You have to be immersed in water to wash away your sins, Acts 2 at verse 38. But that's not the end of the road. We know, as we read in Revelation 2:10, you have to remain faithful until you breathe your last breath or Christ returns. This invitation is not just for those that are not Christians. It's for those that are Christians. It's for us to recharge and get better in our walks with God. As we said, why wait? What's holding you back? Don't let the devil keep you in your seat tonight. We ask that if you need to respond in any way, that you come forward now as together we stand and sing.